But I decided this morning that I was going to speak on two mummies in Egypt. And when I'm talking about two mummies in Egypt, I want to talk today about the influence of mums on people. And you know that Moses had two mums in Egypt. He had his birth mum and he had his adopted mum. And both those mums made a great impact on his life. If you know the history of Moses, he was born into a Jewish family with a mum and dad that were godly. They were down in Egypt at the time he was born. And if you know what happened to the nation of Israel, at the time of Moses' birth, they were in captivity, they were in bondage in Egypt. And as you follow the story of Moses, you find that he gets adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and he's raised in an Egyptian palace. So if I summed up how he was looked after, one of his mum had faith and the other mum had a fortune, being the daughter of Pharaoh. Moses' maternal mum, Jochebed, was the mum that gave birth to him. And Moses' Egyptian mum was the one that gave protection to him. Now, we don't know the name of Moses' adopted mother. And Moses actually wrote the book of Exodus. And I don't know why, but for some reason, he doesn't give us her name. But Moses was really fortunate to have both women in his life. We don't know if Moses' adopted mother ever came to faith, but we do know that God used her. And I want to ask you, are you thankful for the women that God has placed in your life, both Christian and non-Christian? I hope you are. You know, God uses both women of faith and God uses women that are faithful in our lives. And some of those faithful women may not be believers in Jesus Christ. In God's providence, he brings women of influence into our lives, and they are both believers and non-believers. The Bible is a book that honours women, and the Bible informs us of the stories of women that made a difference in their day. And today, like never before, we need faith-filled women and we need faithful women. And we especially need faith-filled women that are faithful. And we need those that are both married and widowed and single. And a woman of faith can pass on a great heritage to the children of all ages. And I love how the King James Version talks about a woman of faith in Proverbs 31. The author says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And in verse 25 he says, "Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favour is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." If you go through the pages of the Bible, you'll find that the Bible gives us a glimpse of numbers of godly women that made a difference in their day. Remember Rahab, the woman of faith, who hid the spies in the book of Joshua. Remember by faith, Rahab puts out the scarlet cord, and when the walls of Jericho are tumbling down, and when Jericho is being invaded by the Israelites, there is a woman of faith. And when the world around her was crumbling, she trusted God for her protection. The Bible says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. That woman of faith ends up being in the family tree of the Lord Jesus, and she becomes the great-grandmother of King David. There's Deborah in the scriptures, and Deborah is both godly and brave. And if you remember, there was a man in the scriptures called Barak, and he was hesitant to go into battle with 10,000 Israelite men. The enemy, Sisera, the general, had 900 war machines at his disposal. 900 chariots he had. And I read a bit about the chariots, and the chariots would have wheels, and attached to those wheels were spinning swords, so that if the Israelites faced them in the plain, these modern armament weapons, these modern weapons of warfare, could simply go through the armies and slay them with the swords that spun. And a historian said that those chariots, I guess they were the modern tanks of their day, because they'd have four archers on those chariots, probably one on each corner of the chariots, and the spinning swords. And they were an absolute fearful army to come against. Yet God uses a woman because a man is afraid. God uses Deborah to encourage one to go into battle. And she encourages Barak. Judges 4 verse 14, then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And if you know the story, there was a great victory that day because of God. But there was a woman that was encouraging one of God's fighters to go into the battle. Samuel had a godly mother. Samuel, the son of Hannah, enabled the nation of Israel to be revived under his leadership. And Samuel's mum was a praying mum. And Samuel's mum was a sacrificial mum. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 7:15, and Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. A godly leader because he had a godly mum, a praying mum, and a sacrificial mum. Another woman of faith in the Bible is Esther. And Esther is a young Jewish woman living in Persia. And she risks her life before the king because there was a plan to exterminate her people. And she is brave. Esther's cousin Mordecai wants her to take some action, and he sends a message. And the message is in Esther 4 verse 14, and he says this, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Ladies, you're living in such a time as this. God has placed you in this time of history in 2022. You are alive today under the providence of God for such a time as this. And Esther had a calling from God. And Esther had to be brave. And Esther had to be bold. And Esther had to trust the Lord. But she was called for such a time as that in the kingdom. And because of her actions and her bravery, she saved the Israelites. Ladies who know the Lord Jesus, you are living in an appointed time that God has appointed you for. There's great threats everywhere to the well-being of the future of the children of Australia. And the children of Australia and the children of this world need godly women and they need godly men. In the New Testament, I could go on and on. I could go on all day about the godly women that we find in the Bible. In the New Testament, John the Baptist had a godly mother and a godly father. And John the Baptist, the son of Elizabeth, encouraged the nation of Israel to repent. And Jesus said, for I say unto you, among those born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great prophet because he had a great mother and he had a great father and they served a great God. Jesus had a godly mother, Mary. And Mary said this, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour." She was godly because she knew that she needed a Saviour. And she submitted to the Lord. She was grounded in the Old Testament scriptures, I believe. And she trusted the Lord and she was godly. But she knew she was a sinner that needed a Saviour. In the New Testament, there's praying Lydia. And then she becomes accommodating Lydia to the missionaries in Acts chapter 16. In Romans 16, there's godly Priscilla. And along with her husband Aquila, she risks her life and his life for the Apostle Paul. Timothy had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." A godly mother, a godly grandmother made a difference. And Paul ended up saying to Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He was used greatly because of the influence of a grandmother and a mother in his life. What a blessing to have faithful and faith-filled women in your life. Moses in the Bible, as I mentioned, had both godly mother and godly father. And Moses' birth mother was called Jehochabed. And Moses, the son of Jehochabed, enabled the nation of Israel to be rescued under his leadership. Now, just briefly, I want to talk about these two ladies and the circumstances in Moses' life. When Moses was born in Egypt there, the children of Israel were persecuted under Pharaoh. Exodus 1 verse 8, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land.' Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel." So we know what Pharaoh did. He imposed hard labour, and he thought that the hard labour would affect the nation, but that plan didn't work. So he has another plan, and he gathers the Hebrew midwives, and he wants the Hebrew midwives to murder the baby boys of the nation of Israel when they are born. The Hebrew midwives refused to do that. If they had done that, then what would have happened to the nation of Israel? If they'd murdered the baby boys, then the women would have married Egyptian men and the nation of Israel would have been assimilated into the Egyptian nation. So it was important that they were preserved. And the midwives feared God. And the midwives disobeyed the government of the day in order to save the baby boys alive. Now, I need to say this in the times that we're living in. As Christians, we are told that we should obey the governing authorities. But there are times where it is either God or government. And sometimes we must disobey the government in order to obey God. The government is never the supreme authority. God is. And you can see that throughout the scriptures. Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar sets up that statue, that golden image he sets up, and he commands all the people to worship that. But there were three Hebrew boys that knew idolatry was wrong, that they would worship only God, not idols, even if it was the idol of the most powerful king of the day, and they refused. They said, "Let it be known to you," as they talked to Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." When government conflicted with God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego chose God and his will over government and their will. Two godly women in Moses' day would not murder the babies of their nation, and they were in direct defiance of the government of the day. I wonder that when Moses was born, were these two midwives, Shipra and Puah, in their positions as midwives at his birth? The scriptures do not say that, but I think quite possibly they were, because Moses, who wrote Exodus, mentions these two brave midwives by name. And possibly these two midwives prevented the death of Moses. You know, as you trace the story of Moses, I believe, if you include these midwives, that there were five women that God used to protect and nurture Moses in his life. The two midwives, as I mentioned, would not obey government orders, and they would not murder the babies, the baby boys, the Israelites in Egypt. Pharaoh tries another plan to kill the Israelite baby boys, and he issues an order for the baby boys to be cast into the River Nile. And God uses Moses' own man, Jehochabed, to protect him from this death. And you know what she does? She makes a little ark, and she places Moses on the river to avoid Pharaoh's death sentence. And I believe before she placed Moses on the river, she placed Moses on the heart of God and asked for his protection. There was Jehochabed. There was the two midwives. There was the daughter of Pharaoh, the daughter of Pharaoh who became Moses' adopted mother. The Bible says in Exodus 2:5, "Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew's children.'" She knew he was a Hebrew. She knew that he was under a death sentence. She knew her father's orders. And she defied the government of the day to save Moses. The fifth lady in Moses' life that God used to protect Moses was Miriam. And Miriam, the sister of Moses, was used to speak to Pharaoh's daughter. Exodus 2 verse 7, "Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?'" No baby formula in those days. The baby in the ark would have died if the baby didn't get mother's milk. And so Miriam goes and gets Moses' mother, her mother as well, to nurse a son. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." The maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, because I drew him out of the water. Moses was born in a fearful time in history. Fortunately, Moses was born into a family that had faith in the living God. The country of Moses' birth, Egypt, was a land that was filled with paganism and idolatry. His people were in bondage to the Egyptians. But in those difficult days, the parents of Moses ensured that he lived both physically and spiritually. They made a difference in their family, and in fact, they made a difference in the whole world because they were faithful to God. Because from that family line came the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus came to our world to die on the cross for the sins of all humanity. But there were men and women that were instrumental in preserving the life of Moses. Jochebed's godliness, I believe, was reflected in the life of her children. Her oldest son was Aaron, and Aaron became Israel's first high priest and the founder of the Aaronic priesthood. Aaron became the spokesman for Moses, who was unable to speak well. Aaron did not live a perfect life, but he served God and his brother Moses. And when Aaron died, the Bible says this: "Now when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. Another child of Jochebed was Miriam, and Miriam ended up being a gifted poetess and a musician. And she was the one at the river watching Moses in the little ark. In Exodus 15, we find that she leads the women of Israel in songs of deliverance. And Miriam went on to travel with Moses and Aaron and the Israelites in their wilderness journeys. Jochebed's godly life was also reflected in the life of Moses. Moses became one of the greatest national leaders, leading the Jewish nation out of bondage, and one of the greatest leaders that the world has ever known. Moses' mum passed on a godly legacy, and that legacy was seen in the lives of her children. Ladies, what a job you have today. Moses was born into terrible and fearful days, and children now are being born and being educated in terrible and fearful days. And we need godly women and men, but it's Mother's Day today, so I'm concentrating on the women. We need godly women like never before. The Apostle Paul warned that in the last days that perilous times shall come. In the 1940s and the 1950s, the top problems in American schools were these: talking in class, chewing gum, and running in the halls. A terrible time for education. They were similar problems that we had in Australian schools: talking in class, chewing gum, and running in the halls. What about today? I think there's far more serious problems than those. According to the World Health Organization, there are 40 to 50 million abortions each year. According to Compassion, which has a headquarters here in Newcastle, there are 218 million children worldwide that are involved in child labour. 126 million of them work in hazardous conditions. Our own kids here in Australia are under attack. There's a massive assault on the kids of Australia. There's widespread promotion and use of alcohol and drugs. We live in a society that's saturated with sexual immorality. The internet and media in many places is attacking the minds of young people. There's pornography and predators online. There's false religions and philosophies that pervade our nation. Many kids in this country are in danger physically and spiritually. On the internet, our children are being influenced by friends that you've never met. Unfortunately, also, there's liberalism in the churches and there's humanism in the schools. Our kids are under attack from so many angles. The parents of Moses did what they could to protect their child from evil. But two women particularly moulded the future of Moses, two mummies in Egypt. One was a woman of faith and one was a woman of fortune. Moses had two mums in Egypt and were both instrumental in the preservation and the education of the man that God would use wonderfully. Jehochabed planted spiritual seeds in the life of Moses, and the daughter of Pharaoh planted educational seeds in the life of Moses. We must never forget that God used the education of Egypt in Moses' life. You can read about other writers, write about Moses being a general. Moses was educated in all the ways of Egypt. Acts 7 verse 20 says, "At the time Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds." The writer to Hebrews says in Hebrews 11:23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Mums and grandmothers and all Christian women can make a great difference in our nation. In a culture of death, 5 women chose life. In a culture of death, 2 women particularly had a wonderful influence in the life of Moses. Moses had 2 mothers that loved him, 2 mothers that loved kids in a culture that was against children at the time. On Mother's Day, we are reminded that every Christian woman is vital in giving life and love to many children today that are surrounded by those that wish to destroy them. Ladies and gentlemen, we all have a vital job in protecting the children of this nation and the nations of the world from the evils that surround them. The biggest problem all our children have is sin, and sin separates us from God and will separate human beings from God for all eternity. But thankfully, Jesus came to deal with that problem. The greatest gift that we can give the children of our nation is not actually education, but it's salvation in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, are you having input into the lives of children today? We can have input in their lives by praying for them, by welcoming them into our homes, by being an example as a grandmother and a mother and an aunt, by being a scripture teacher, by being a chaplain, by being in the place where you help other mums, young mums that are really struggling in their lives. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised.